Welcome, Forex fans, to the sixth episode of the Forex Gaming Podcast. I am Rob, aka Orcas Are Dolphins, from the subreddit. Today, we're going to be speaking about Stellaris and the Utopia expansion. And before we do that, I want to introduce my panel of podcasters here. As I introduce you, please let me know what you're playing, starting with Strategia.
Hey.
What are you playing?
I've been playing Stellaris, trying out Utopia. I've been playing Space Empires 4 with a bunch of these fine gentlemen. And I just came off a 7-hour session of Factorio. Don't do Factorio, kids.
Wow, cool. Now we are a public service announcement, too. Awesome. So, I understand you guys are all playing a multiplayer play-by-email game of Space Empires 4, right?
That is correct.
Awesome. So, Boots, how are you, sir?
Hello. I have been playing a lot of Stellaris lately, as well as Space Empires 4. I'm part of that whole group that's playing it, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm not very familiar with the game. I'm not very good at it, but I've been learning as I go.
I'm coming to the realization that I'm not involved in this game, which means I must be the black sheep of this group. I should take offense, but I'm not going to. Kirkus Max, miss.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Stellaris, and also, again, Space Empires 4, and some of that time, I think most of the time, actually, I've spent writing a script to prevent me from doing more work of downloading the files, so that's what I've been doing.
That's awesome. Yet another person playing Space Empires 4. Yeah, so Drexy, how you doing, mate?
Too bad, mate. I've also been playing a lot of Stellaris, surprise, and a lot of Space Empires 4, as well as a little bit of a Hearthstone.
Hearthstone, that's my jam. That's the only card game that I actually enjoy. I understand you're actually better than me, because we've had this conversation before.
I wouldn't say that much better. Half the time, I'm swearing, I can't believe he got that card at that moment. God damn it, man.
Yeah, the RNG that is involved in that game totally screws me up. It just doesn't work in my favor, which, yeah. Anyway, so onto our topic, which is Stellaris and the Utopia expansion, and actually just Stellaris in general. So we are going to touch base on the expansion and kind of figure out how it fleshed out the game and how it made it better. Before then, we're going to talk about the Reddit thread that we enjoy most this bi-weekly period. And we've all agreed that the question sent in by Lorini, which asks, which Forex do you guys think has the best research tree? We are going to talk about that briefly. So we'll start with you, Drexy. What's your favorite Forex research tree?
I'm not a fan of most research trees, but I'll have to default with my baby Distant Worlds for that one.
That's literally one of the most, and in my personal opinion, one of the most boring. But hey, cool. That's cool. It's your thing. Kirkus, what is your favorite research tree?
I'm a pretty huge fan of Alpha Centauri, especially the first time you go through it, just the richness and the backstory of each of the texts. And if you select the option of not choosing your text directly, you just kind of choose an area of research and you just get weird stuff, and it just feels a little more organic that way.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the little snippets of lore that come with each research topic for Centauri were really cool. Really appreciated that. Sabouts, what about you, sir?
Yeah, my favorite was also Alpha Centauri, and for the same reasons both of you suggested, with the different snippets. I don't think I've ever really seen that done before in another 4X game. When it comes to how well it was, it was almost like discovering each tech had kind of like a philosophical backdrop or something to it. It was quite unique.
Wow, that actually sounded really smart. Good job. Strategia, what about you, sir?
I gotta agree with Alpha Centauri. Like, that game, the writing is just so well done, and the tech quotes are one of the main ways that you're drawn into the world, and it is absolutely amazing. And there are a few games, 4X or otherwise, that are so good at what they do. But I also want to give a shout out to the Space Empires 4, because there's just so much choice. You can really, there are no optimal routes to go down. There are no, it depends. There are some optimal routes, but it really just depends on what you want to play. And especially with certain mods, you can really, you can play a completely different playstyle just by choosing different paths down the tech tree, and it's completely valid.
Right on. Yeah, I never actually had any experience with Space Empires 4, so I should probably remedy that. However, I'll set my vote with Sword of the Stars 1 and 2, I guess, because they share very similar research trees, but it's all random. I think a lot of people are very familiar with Sword of the Stars research tree, but a lot of the base research trees are random. Each game you're getting a different, you know, you're just getting a very different game. And I really liked it because a lot of the times it would force you to choose various strategies that you may not, you know, employ on your own if you were just given every research topic. So very cool. We're going to do an entire episode about research soon. So stay tuned for that. But cool question, Lorini. Thanks for that. And let's get into Stellaris Utopia because that's what we do. First, let's talk about Utopia and the expansion. So have you guys all played it? I know there's one of us that hasn't actually played Utopia. That's Kirkus, right?
Yeah, I only played with the patch. So I got the Banks patch, the 1.5 patch, but I did not play with Utopia yet.
Yeah, that's going to be great because you're going to offer a unique perspective that we don't have because we're all familiar with what Utopia brought and what Banks brought. So it'll be good to hear honestly, I don't even know what Utopia brought. So we're going to have to talk about that here in a minute. But everybody else has Utopia. So let's start with you, Sabouts. What are your feelings on Utopia in general, just the content that came with the expansion?
So Utopia introduced a lot of different things, some things that people have been asking about for a while, such as mega structures and whatnot, and when we were going to get to build our own. I think that was a pretty big addition to the game. They completely reworked the factions. It created a better system with it, a little bit more cleaner, easier to understand system. The last one was a little confusing in how it all operated. The Ascension perks are pretty awesome, actually. I think that was definitely needed in the game to add something unique and different. So, I mean, there was some of the big things that really stuck out to me with the Utopia.
Now, in general, what are your feelings? We're going to get into this a little bit more deeply, but as just like a shot from the hip, do you feel positively about Utopia and its additions?
For me, in Paradox games, any step forward is a good step. I thought Utopia brought a lot to the table and just helped to continue to flesh the game out more than it was previously. But I do still have a couple of withdrawals with Utopia, some things that I think, and Stellaris in general as a game, there's some things that kind of, you know, I'm sure we'll go more in depth on later, but that need to be addressed.
How about you, Drexy?
Personally, I think whilst it's added a lot, I'm a bit pissed that it cost $20, to be honest, for what we got compared to the patch. So I know why they have said that they don't want people who come into the game later to miss out on a bunch of stuff. But I feel if they're going to do that, they really need to make the expansions closer to $10, maybe $15 at the most. If they're only going to add such few things to the patch, the expansion compared to the patch.
How about you, Kirk?
I mean, as a free patch, I think it does a lot of things. Probably the most striking thing that it does for me is revamps the faction system, which is previously a complete nuisance, and actually turns into something you can work with. I like it. I like it more, but I think Stellaris, really its biggest problem is content. And it just needs more of it. And every patch and every expansion that comes in is going to make it better. And in the end, we have to decide whether it's going to be worth that money.
And you, Strat, how are you feeling, sir?
I like it. It's not perfect. If being honest, it could have been better. But it's pretty good, and it really was necessary. So, yeah, it's a step forward. But the thing is with Paradox in general, they tend to put so many new mechanics over the course of a game's lifespan. That, especially if you look at Europa Universalis 4 and Crusader Kings 2, that with Stellaris, I feel that really, you know, the game we have right now is a shadow of the game it's going to be in 2 years or so. So it's really it's going to grow, and it really needs to grow. It needs to, but it's, you know, like Sabout said, it's a step in the right direction.
Personally, I'm a bit pissed off with this how games are releasing at the moment, where it's half done and you're expected to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, spend a bunch of money on DLC until it gets good. I mean, every time a game's released, I hear people just say, oh, it's got that potential. You've just got to wait for XYZ to come, which is an annoying prospect, really.
I agree. It's definitely questionable, and it's not, overall, I'd say it's not really a good way to do business, but it's, you know, in Paradox's case, at least, it is very expensive. Like, I would much prefer it if it was a lot cheaper as well, because if you look at the DLC lists, they go on sale regularly, but if you look at it outside of sale time, then there is $100, $200 worth of content just in the main expansions, not even counting all the cosmetic DLCs, and that is some flavor of insane, to be honest. I mean, but they do, most of the time, a new Paradox game, you know, barring the bugs, is solid. It is playable. It is pretty good. You know, the Crusader Kings, Europa Universalis, without the expansion, was still pretty good. But because they put out so many, because they keep working on it after release, the game just gets better over time, and that's something that a lot of other games don't have.
Right. So, Kurt, could you tell me a little bit about what came in Banks without Utopia, since you have that unique perspective?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the weird thing here, is that the patch actually does a lot by itself. As I mentioned previously, the faction system, because previously faction system was just some kind of malcontents in your empire starts making trouble. You just check a box and spend influence to get them to shut up and sit down, which really didn't make for engaging gameplay. It wasn't super interesting. But then they just totally replaced it, completely scrapped the old one. Now factions are actual parties who have political opinions and want to, you know, actually make their views heard and reflected in the government, which is way more interesting. That was free. So that's one of the many systems. There's a whole bunch of other things as well. For instance, you guys get Ascension perks in the expansion, but we get the Unity traditions, which are 80% of that system anyways. So if you want to go back and look at Stellaris, this patch is definitely a reason to do so.
This is where I'll agree with Drexy 100%. So you're telling me, okay, so not only is food universal with the patch, which is, okay, whatever, that's a normal patch element, but then you also have the entire Unity tree and you have the Unity system as well?
Yeah, you have the Unity system, you have the traditions. We do not get the Ascension perks, but everything else is accessible by the patch.
Okay, so those that aren't familiar with the Unity system to Stellaris, it's now where you accumulate Unity through various means, usually by making your people happy and so on and so forth. And the Unity accumulates to a point where you can spend it on various perks for your empire. The idea was to allow that system to really specialize your empire, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now that I don't think it does a good enough job of doing that. And I think that a Unity accumulates so quickly that it's very, very easy to just get all these perk paths. And I thought that was something unique to Utopia, and I'm surprised that it was actually a patched-in element, because I don't even know what I spent $20 on. Saboots?
Well, yeah, I kind of feel the same way when, you know, what Drexy said and everything, and I hate to, simply because it is Paradox, and I really enjoy Paradox games, but, you know, and I've heard it said before, it's tough because everybody wants to give Paradox kind of a pass, because games like EU4, Crusader Kings 2, you know, Victoria, they're all really good games. They're awesome games. And the expansions that have come out for those games have only gone on to make them better as times move forward. So, you know, you take a couple of years where everybody's paid for these expansions for these games, and it's like, oh, you know, it's a really good game at the end, but it's harder to look back after a couple of years and realize you've paid a couple hundred bucks for the game with all the expansions and everything. It's kind of a marketing strategy for Paradox. And, you know, I know they're doing it with Stellaris, and it sucks because I really do like Stellaris and I like, you know, other Paradox games. And I do somewhat hate the fact that I do feel like I'm paying a lot of money for features that really should have already have been in the game when it was launched. Adding expansions is one thing. I mean, back when, you know, we had expansions like Alpha Centauri, and then they added the, you know, the expansion after that, it added all new things to the game. But now I'm feeling like I'm getting half-baked games, and then they're giving me, you know, the icing, and then they give me the sprinkles, you know, a year or two later, when that all should have came with the game way before.
I don't want to dwell on this too long, because we've got a lot to talk about, but for example, I wanted to play CK2 this week, which I've not really played, but you know, it's so expensive to jump in with all the expansions. You're like, oh, I've got to wait for a sale before I can actually try and get the game up to where it is at the moment, which is just annoying personally. I mean, I can see why they do it, these expansions are paying for the development of the game, but I would prefer if the game was more fully featured, all the games were more fully featured at release. I mean, they've just released three expansion packs for three different games within a week of each other.
Yeah, I think I made this analogy before, but basically Paradox is going with the printer business model where they charge you $20 for the printer and then $20 for every ink cartridge, which is apparently made of unicorn blood. So it's a business decision, but maybe not best for the end players, I guess. Yeah.
Then what we can say is that Utopia brought these Ascension perks, which are granted once you fill out like a Unity tree, and it brought megastructures. And that's supposedly $20 worth of content. And I disagree. I would disagree wholeheartedly. And I get what some of you guys are saying, and I know where Paradox stands on this, and that they say, well, you know, we'll have people pay for this $20 expansion, and that fuels or pays for these free patches that we also release with them. And I don't know what it is that's occurred in the past like 2 or 3 years with Paradox, but it's gotten to a point where I think their fanboyism is so rampant that people are like okay with that. And I personally am not. Like I'm actually a little angry about Utopia in general, because I had no idea going into this podcast how much came with Banks, and now knowing that basically everything that I paid for was free anyways, a little bit frustrating. So in general, do you think the Banks patch was an improvement in every way, or do you think there were any steps backwards, Kirk?
Well, to its credit, I can't really think of any step backwards. I think, as I mentioned before, the faction system is 110% better. No question about that. The shared food is definitely better. Having a traditions tree is definitely better. There's a few, like, I wouldn't say they're step backs, but there's like step sideways. They changed a few of the ethics, specifically the they changed the individualist collectivist axis to the authoritarian egalitarian axis, which, fine, it's a step sideways. I'm not 100% sure why they did that, but you know, it's a choice they could make. I'm also trying to think of the other things that they added, and most of it was just a positive. I think they're larger steps forward depending on what system it is, but I think the patch itself was definitely good overall. Absolutely.
Right. So I'd agree. I think Utopia even brings, like, if we looked past the price point, I think Utopia is a good expansion. It's actually, it actually does nothing, in my opinion, to bring the game backwards. And all, like, these features and these gameplay mechanics do add to the general strategy involved in gameplay, and they also add just fun things to work for. I do think they kind of feel a little ripped from Civilization, but there's a reason why they were, because I think it worked really well in Civilization too. But the actual trees themselves, I think they're a little underwhelming. Do you guys think, what are your thoughts about on the trees, the civic trees?
So honestly, I actually really liked the Ascension perks and the actual civic trees and everything. I thought that was really cool and really well done. And the reason I say that is because if you take a game like E4, say, it was very easy to know, you know, what paths you had to take when you went to go actually pick things. Like, everybody always said the same ones, you know, they're like, oh, make sure you take quantity, make sure you take quality, make sure you take, you know, and everybody knew which ones were garbage. So it was, and then you always had your kind of neutral, which was like the religion ones and the economy ones. They're somewhat neutral, but there was always those ones that nobody ever took. And I think that Stellaris does a really good job with kind of having all really good things that are balanced out to the point where you can kind of look at them all and be like, well, I really don't know which one to take, because they all have their ups and downs. They all got things that can help me and that can benefit my empire. So what direction do I really want to take all of this?
The Ascension perks are interesting. There is some planning you need to take when you take them to get so you need to forward plan your path of how you're going to play this, your current game, with the ascension perks. So yeah, global food as well was like another huge addition, which I really thought was a good idea. Strategia, you have something to say, boy?
Yeah, well, it's I really like the Ascension perks. The Ascension perks, they're awesome. They're great. But with the Civics, Civic Trees, is it Civic Trees? With the new Unity mechanics, I kind of feel, well, if I'm being honest, I'm a bit disappointed that it's such, it really does feel very much like a Civilization. Oh yeah, the tradition. If I'm being honest, I'm a bit disappointed that it really does feel kind of like it's essentially the same system as the social policies from Civilization V, and that's kind of they could have done something more interesting with it. Maybe they'll do that in the future. I don't know, but right now, well, I do prefer the game with the tradition trees rather than without it, but it's not as good as it could have been. And I also I gotta kind of sort of disagree with Sabaut that there are definitely some trees that are better than others, even outside of the ones depending on your playstyle. That there's the one that's the science focused one, the discovery focused one, the exploration focused, that I think it's called Discovery. It's very much at the strongest early on when you're going to be doing, when most of what you're going to be doing is exploration and discovery. So that's probably a go-to option for the early game when things like the diplomatic ones are completely inapplicable, and the expansion ones are similar. Like I already see sort of default path that you're basically going to have to go through, and that's kind of it is like what you mentioned in EU4, so that kind of disappointing, to be honest.
Yeah, and this is where I will completely agree, and this is where I was hoping that Utopia would be a little better, because, or even I guess Banks, because they had kind of marketed this as the ability to really specialize your factions, your race, and I feel like what it ends up becoming is there are optimal paths, and eventually you get all of them anyways. I mean, I played through maybe 6-7 hours on one game, and by the time I was, wrapping up to see some of the endgame stuff, I had almost all of them unlocked, and I didn't feel like I was really specialized. I felt like I was just doing a bunch of stuff and getting a bunch of perks. I think Sabaut might disagree with me.
Well, I mean, the big thing is the reason that I said the Ascension perks and everything the actual tradition trees, they're kind of hard to differentiate, is even though the exploration does seem kind of like an easy option in the beginning to pick, it gets, as you progress through the game, you need more unity to actually pick different slots. And so if you do go with the exploration one early in the game, that's going to be great. But when I did my playthrough, I actually didn't go exploration simply because all I could think of was how useless it would be come the mid and end game. And it was just full of a lot of useless stuff. And so I didn't really want to waste my unity points on that. So I ended up going economic to try to give my empire really early economic boost so I could spread very quickly. And then there's also the expansion one, which gives you like more core sectors and whatnot. So if you're trying to grow really quickly, it helps with that, as well as reducing costs in frontier outposts. So I really do think that it is a little bit trickier to decide what you're going to pick, because yeah, you could pick exploration in the beginning, but it's going to be pretty much worthless later on. So do you want to get, do you want to expand quicker? Do you want to build a more stronger economy? And then one last thing, one thing that Utopia did that I think we should kind of talk about is that it actually does allow you to build tall instead of wide, like Stellaris was originally.
Yeah, we could definitely get into that a little bit more. And before we do talk a little more about Utopia, I kind of do want to take a step back and talk about Stellaris in general, because, I mean, obviously this is a new podcast and we're like kind of new to the scene and stuff, and we haven't really talked about Stellaris because it came out way before this podcast started. So in general, like, what are you guys' feelings about Stellaris?
I'm going to be a little bit non-PC here. I feel Stellaris is a less autistic version of Distant World, which might sound good to a lot of people, but it makes the game a lot more bland.
I don't disagree at all.
That's not going to get edited, so cool. All right. Yeah, I can agree with that. Kirk, what about you, sir?
I just can't. Oh, I really... Yes, I think it is a less autistic version of Distant Worlds, but I think the other thing is that Distant Worlds really doesn't I think Distant Worlds is very autistic just because it doesn't acknowledge that people exist. You can design ships up the wazoo, but your population is a happiness number. Whereas I feel as if Stellaris does a really good job of role-playing, right? You have all these options and all these switches and all these levers to be able to do interesting things. And like you can do interesting things like, hey, I'm going to enslave this species and I'm going to genetically engineer them to be delicious and then eat them. Like that's a thing you can do. It's endorsed by the game mechanics. It's not just window dressing. It's something that you can actually do in the game. And I think that for what it does, Stellaris does that very well.
I just want to explain what I meant with that comment. The thing is, with it being less autistic, it also makes the game more bland. You know, Distant Worlds keeps you a lot more engaged than Stellaris. A lot of times whilst I'm playing Stellaris, I'm just thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm not at war. You know, it's just more busy work in Distant Worlds, where Stellaris is just still very bland, in my opinion. Nice but bland is a saying we have over here.
You crazy Brits, nice but bland. Sabouts, you crazy New Yorkan.
Yeah, so Stellaris in general, I mean, when the game first came out, it was kind of rough. I mean, the early game was really exciting. Exploration was, it was better than most 4X games with exploration. The end game had a pretty cool, there was a couple pretty cool end game events, but the mid game was definitely this massive gaping void of just nothingness, where it was pretty much just letting the game go on the fastest setting was you built up your fleet to impossible numbers and occasionally conquered empires around you. So Utopia definitely did help to flesh out, as well as Leviathans. It helped to flesh out the mid game a lot more, but they're still definitely working on it. Big things I know that they're going to be working on in the future that they've talked about working on that need massive improvements are certainly the diplomacy. Absolutely 100% sucks. And the ship combat and the ground combat both are just absolutely horrendous, because right now there's really no benefit to splitting your fleet up and having multiple smaller fleets. You might as well just have one gigantic, massive fleet that just flies around and crushes everything. And there's just no incentives to having a small fleet. So something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think the Doom fleet issue, I know we had in a previous podcast talked about Doom stacks, but I think Distant Worlds has the most, Stellaris has the most over-the-top Doom fleet issue that I've ever seen in a game. It's just, there's really, truly no reason to split up your fleet. The only time that I ever split up my fleet is if we're talking about like a whack-a-mole situation where I just need to find that one enemy fleet and take them out. Other than that, just stack them high, stack them deep, roll them over.
Right, and this is Stellaris. The idea was to start off as a 4X game and then move more to a grand strategy like EU4, but I just don't think they've achieved the level of grand strategy at the end game like you have in EU4. And yeah, like you said, the Doom fleets is just ridiculous. I don't know how they're going to get around it, but they really need to do something about that.
Hey, Strat, how do you feel about it in general?
We've already kind of talked about how it has potential, but we'll see what it's going to be. Even disregarding that and the state it's in right now, I do quite like it. It does some things that are, so some things that are pretty unique in 4X, some things that aren't, but that aren't that you don't see that often, and it lets you do some really cool things that like some. Like has already been mentioned, you can role play as whatever you want, as you know, the peaceful little fluffy budding aliens who just want to hug everything, to genocidal conquerors who eat everything that isn't them, and it's really that sort of depth in a personality. And emergent personality, like we mentioned, Alpha Centauri as has a lot of personality that was pre-written, but Stellaris has a lot of personality that's truly emergent, and that's kind of that's kind of unique in 4X in a way that it's the depth to which that goes that few other games manage to reach.
No doubt. I think Stellaris is probably one of the better role-playing games because it does allow for so many different variations of race features and such, et cetera, like you guys were talking about with slaving and all this stuff. However, in the wise words of a guy that I know, like it doesn't do a very good job of displaying and creating combat scenarios, but it doesn't really give you anything else to do. Like, yeah, sure, you can have these great role-playing moments where you're like, yeah, I'm this like cool super bunny race. And these super bunnies, they don't want to do anything other than love on everyone. But that literally, that leads to such boring gameplay with Stellaris. It's almost, it is a tragedy to try any other gameplay strategy other than just taking out everybody, because there's nothing else to do.
I feel as if that's a common problem in a lot of 4X games, where, yes, exterminate is one of the X's, but it also seems as if that's really the only meaningful way you can interact with the outside world. And a lot of that comes down to having not terribly sophisticated economic systems where, especially this happens a lot in like online 4X games, which is why they're so hard to find, is that there's no real reason to interact with anybody else other than, are you going to be my ally or am I going to steal all your territory? And those are your options. And this is what we find again here, I guess.
Right. And I think I echo Sabalt's sentiments about how, like, when it first came out, actually, I had really good impressions of it. When I was still with Explorminate, I was 100% with the exemplary rating they gave it, because for a base game, for a brand new 4X game, it actually is really solid. It's just the more you play it, I think the more you realize that the elements of 4X games that I personally look for, and maybe others don't, are replayability and unique gameplay experiences brought on by asymmetric race design or variable quests that you only see, you know, very rarely, stuff like that. That just doesn't exist in Stellaris, because everything happens in a very similar way each time, and then all these quests in general happen every playthrough. I mean, what do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing. Like, so the Clausewitz engine's been around for a long time now, and every time it pops up, there's just this very good framework for a game that they put into it. And what it comes down to is content. You can add content with the mods, which is another way of doing it. Like, there's some amazing total conversion mods out there for Star Trek and Star Wars that make great use of the framework that Stellaris brings. But the base game itself, in and of itself, it just needs more, right? It needs more quest chains. It needs more branches to the quest chains. It needs more writing. It needs more other things to be going on, right? Because what ends up happening is that, yeah, I've played three games of Stellaris to the end, and it just keeps happening where, oh, I know how this quest goes. Like, oh, those are the aliens who live in gas giants. I know how this entire quest line goes. And it's like, okay, well, gonna do that, I guess. yeah, that just needs more. Just needs more, more, more.
And wouldn't it be great to be those aliens that live in gas giants and to have that kind of like asymmetric gameplay for various races? Because that's what's sorely missing for Stellaris. And again, I don't want to make it sound like we're completely just shitting all over Stellaris here, because I do think it's a good game. I just think that some of what makes 4X good isn't present, and that's why I'm kind of going here and really harping on this. But like, if it would be cool to see those kind of gameplay mechanics where you could play in gas giants, or if, depending on your particular ethics and stuff choices, that certain quest lines opened up and just weren't there at all for anybody else. So I don't know. What do you think, Drex?
Yeah, I think currently my next playthrough, I'm going to do a sort of more role play game through as a hive mind, because I haven't tried the hive mind, which was added in the expansion. So I feel that to make the game better, you're going to have to put more of your imagination almost into it, just to fill in the gaps currently.
What you got, Kirkus?
Rob, I think you're being really spoiled by the asymmetry and Endless Space 2, because that game did asymmetry really, really well. And if they can bring that to Stellaris, I think that'd be a huge winner.
Well, and I guess this is where it comes down to. Like, obviously everyone's subjective. Everyone's thoughts are subjective. And I think Stellaris in general just is not the kind of 4X game that I enjoy. So, and maybe it could be one day with some gameplay variations that would help that asymmetry a little bit, even just a slight bit would be a little bit better. But yeah, like with games with Endless Space 2 and even the upcoming Crusade, which I'm really excited to talk about soon, there's asymmetry that just really helps each playthrough with various races feel different and unique that I wish Stellaris had. Let's talk a little bit about things that we... what do we like about Stellaris? Like, Kirkus, why don't you tell me, what are your favorite aspects of gameplay when it comes to Stellaris?
I just really enjoy the roleplay. I think, especially in this expansion where they added all the rights by species features, even in the patch, you can really add a lot of character to your empire, even beyond the actual strict role-playing, right? It actually does matter whether you grant rights to this alien species you just uplifted into sentience, right? And you can uplift a species, they form a political party, and they demand, full citizen status. Like, that's a thing that can happen. It's allowed within the mechanics of the game. There's a narrative you can construct in your mind about it, and I think that kind of goes into the role-playing. I think that's just something I just really enjoy with Stellaris.
What about you, Sabalts? What are your favorite aspects of Stellaris?
So I really like the exploration in the game. I know I've gotten some flack for that before, but I just like the way the exploration is done. I think they did it really well. There's a lot of unique things. I mean, I don't find a single time playing the game where I find an anomaly and I'm very excited about it. There's not like a single time where I'm not like, oh, and another anomaly, crap, I don't want to do this. You know, it's always exciting to know, like, what am I going to get this time? What's going to happen? It's like one of the playthroughs I did, I found an anomaly on a planet in my home system, and it ended up being like just a secret factory that used to produce robots, and I managed to get started up, and it gave me a bunch of really cool stuff, and gave me a lot of production or a lot of minerals and engineering research on that planet, and it was just cool. There was like a story and everything to go along with it. So some of the stuff in the game, and then there's Easter eggs too with some of the anomalies you can find. So just all of that's really unique. Every time you find one, it's kind of like exciting to know, you know, what am I going to get this time? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to open up a quest line? I mean, you never really know.
Yeah, I think my problem with the game is I've maybe not been playing it right. I've not been role playing or even reading many of the attacks that pop up. But one interesting thing that did happen to me was I tried to colonize a Gaia world, and I got contacted by an alien not to, and I told him to get lost, basically, and colonized it. And suddenly I found had a fleet of 30K on my doorstep, which was rather interesting.
Yeah, the Fallen Empires have holy worlds around them, especially the spiritual types. And they'll get quite cross with you if you colonize them. I guess that's kind of the other things about the game, is that it does have those like Fallen Empires kind of narratives around those. The other thing, big thing that I also really enjoy about Stellaris, if you can kind of make it through the mid to end game slog, there is kind of this crazy end game crisis that does throw a wrench in the works, which is kind of interesting to deal with. Even if I do think they do need to have more of them.
There are some really good things that they're trying to do here. I think the end game stuff and the Fallen Empire stuff, those are really cool. And the way that the end game can sort of flesh out into three different ways. And then even now with Utopia, I guess now you can ascend three different ways. Those are actually really cool. So what about you, Strat? I haven't heard from you in a few. What are your favorite things about Stellaris?
The race builder, basically, it's the idea of building this race, and sometimes I go in with an idea of I want to build this kind of race, and sometimes I go in and I just and I just start picking basically random stuff, and it does come together into something that kind of feels alive in a way. Even if I go in and just pick, I haven't played with this yet, or I haven't played with that a lot, and it all just sort of the emergent gameplay from that.
Yeah, with Stellaris, I think the biggest thing it has going for it is the customization of the race is probably one of the best in any Forex game out there. And the other thing I found really interesting was when you make megastructures, it actually you use all the planets in the system to build megastructures, which is something that science have theorized about making Dyson spheres. Having to, like, if we're going to make one, we're going to have to use Mercury, Venus, and Mars possibly just to construct them, which is the real-world theory that's actually gone into the game, which I found super interesting as well.
So let's take a moment real quick, just not to get too negative. I just want to hear what you guys think should be the next expansion. What would make this game better?
I think content first and foremost. In terms of the actual mechanical systems, I think the sector system needs to be just take a mulligan on that one, because as is the optimal strategy for sectors is to set the taxes to maximum and then give them the stuff that they need, and it's kind of this weird micro-y gameplay that's not super great. Then combat system, Doom Fleet system, and then just more and more content.
How about you, Drexy? What do you think should be shored up?
I think the transition from 4X to Grand Strategy really needs to be worked on a lot more. I mean, it's not like Paradox. This is Paradox's first game. They have EU4 and Crusader Kings even to have a basis on adding to Stellaris's end game. Strategia, what do you think?
Well, basically, everything that you guys have mentioned is the content, the combat, the sectors, everything. But so what I would like to do is give a shout out to how moddable the game is. We haven't talked about mods a lot yet, but I really like mods. I play generally, if there are mods for a game, I will play with mods. And in Stellaris, it's convenient, and the content the modders have put out is amazing, and I really enjoy that. Samoats?
Well, for me, I think I'd like to really see a big improvement in the whole combat area of the game. Just a complete rework of ground combat. Because as of right now, it's pretty much just a, who's more technologically advanced, who has the more numbers for armies. So there's not really any, you bombard the fortifications out of a planet and then you invade it. I mean, it's very rock, paper, scissors. There's really nothing there. And then ship combat, fleet combat in general really needs a big overhaul. So like I believe Kirkus had mentioned previously, with just these massive giant death fleets roaming around, there's just no incentive right now to break your fleet up and do anything with it. Why have, you know, a bunch of 30K fleets when you can have one massive 120, 150K fleet flying around crushing your opponents. So the whole combat in general for me is the big thing I'd like to see reworked in the future. Kirkus, you have something?
That being said, it is nice to be able to research xenomorphs and then gene seed purification, have literal 40K marines riding your xenomorphs into battle. Like, that is just a wonderful image in my mind.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, going back to the mods, I think, thank God, they've actually added a good modding system to the game, because I feel that a lot of the newer games, you know, in the past, mods have basically kept games alive and improved them a hell of a lot more over time. So hats off to Paradox for adding that.
Yeah, and I'll have to agree with you, Drexy. I think the transition from 4X to Grand Strategy, if you could get that, like, just sort of nailed down a little bit better, it would be great, because the Grand Strategy elements that are present in Europa Universalis and Crusader Kings, like that diplomacy and those inner, like that politics stuff that's just not there really with Stellaris, is what I actually thought Stellaris would bring, and it hasn't yet, and I'd really like to see that nailed down and made better. But in the end of it, it's Stellaris has done something that, you know, really kind of helps bridge the gap between 4X and Grand Strategy. And if they can focus on their strengths and, you know, really shore up what their weaknesses are now, I could see this being a game that almost everyone likes in a year. So do you guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap up the show?
Well, I'm going to say Stellaris is actually better than Sid Meier's Starships. which is my standard rating system in 4X games, as you all know.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. That's cool. All right. Yeah, no, I think the last couple episodes have been a little more negative than I expected. And I don't think that's because we're all like just disgruntled. I think we're just trying to make sure that we can add some critical thought to the betterment of these games. There's no doubt that Stellaris is a good game. It's just, it could be better. And with some proper guidance, I know there's a new guy coming in to head the game. So hopefully he can bring it in the right direction. I know they've done a pretty good job since release to make it better. So I have no doubts that they can continue to make it better. And yeah, he's a Canadian too, so Kirk must like him. Anyways, for the time being, we're going to keep watching this, keep playing it, and enjoy it for what it is. And we'll have much more in the way of podcasting and some more philosophical topics to approach here in the next couple weeks. Thanks for listening, guys. This was the 4X Gaming Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Take care.